from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
G2 Houston, insider access, exclusive content, Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here, an Odyssey sports station.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, six pack of Texans to watch for tonight. Six guys I can't wait to see tonight. And there could be like 20, honestly. I'm excited for this game.
I wish we had a sounder with a little can opener.
I thought about that during the break.
I don't want to waste six cans of beer I can't justify drinking all six of those at this hour of the morning when we've got a pregame to show to do later. So yeah, we'll do.
And some of these beers I'm about to lay out here might be skunk beers for some people. I may be more interested in some of these guys than the average fan.
The one of these, it's not a skunk beer, but it's not like 4-year-old Milwaukee's Best Light. Or
right,
anything,
right.
But yeah, it's a, yeah.
This is not a skunk beer right here. This to me, this is the number one player I'm anxious to see tonight. And it's not even close for me. It's Dameon Pierce. Mm-hmm. Dameon Pierce will presumably start at running back tonight. Joe Mixon has not practiced since July the 19th. So we're 3 weeks from Joe Mixon even putting pads on. So Dameon Pierce is going to start tonight. He didn't play in the Hall of Fame game. Thus, this is the first look we're getting at Dameon Pierce, hopefully version, as you point out, Seth, version 3.0. 1.0 was a good version. That was his rookie year. He ran for almost 1,000 yards. Version 2.0 was, what was it, Windows Vista?
whichever the
New
worst
Coke?
Windows was.
Yeah,
it was
funny.
Windows Vista, yeah. It was New Coke. It was a highly anticipated yet deeply disappointing.
Yeah, like, I'll just go back to counting by hand. I don't need this computer anymore. So supposedly we've got the bug fixed. Supposedly there's been a software patch that has been uploaded to Dameon Pierce.
Yes.
And we see if it works.
This is kind of... I don't know if I should use the analogy I just thought of or not. Dameon Pierce, I'm excited to see, and yet I don't want to see it for too long. It's kind of like here, you know, maybe finding out about your girlfriend's relationship history.
Oh,
it might be a little part of it. That you're like, she did some crazy thing in college once.
Right.
But I don't want to know too much about it.
Fingers and ears. Yeah.
That's exciting, except, wait, no, please don't tell me it happened 29 times on one weekend or something. Like, yeah. Just so I want to see a little bit of Dameon Pierce.
Right.
I want to see a little bit of Dameon Pierce, just enough to scintillate me and excite me. And then I want to put it away.
Yep.
So I just want to see. I want to see three carries. I want to see three carries for 30 yards, but one of those is a 20-yard carry.
Okay.
That's what I'm good. That's all I'm asking for.
That's
all I'm asking for is 10 yards per carry for three carries.
I said this yesterday. I did this similar segment on the Utopia podcast yesterday. And my thought on Dameon, Seth, is that I don't like the box score doesn't really matter much to me. Let's say he gets five touches in this game, right? He's in for two series. He carries five times. If he were to go five carries, 41 yards, I'd be incredibly excited. No doubt about it. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But if he goes five carries for 18 yards, but he's putting a foot in the ground, finding a hole, and the reason it's not going for more is just it's not being, you know, he's getting smothered. It's not being completely blocked well. To me, it's my point is, to me, it's more about how Dameon Pierce looks like as a running back in this system than it is him having to look like the old Dameon, but they happen to block it well and he runs over a few guys.
I'll go, you know what? Yesterday I went back and watched the, in my film work, I went back and I watched the Texans versus the Raiders in 2006. And this is why. Landry would accuse me of wanting to go back and watch myself. I didn't play in that game, so I was injured. But I wanted to watch D'Amico Ryans because Kay Adams had brought that game up as one of D'Amico Ryans' best games. One of the most impressive plays D'Amico made in that play was actually on a goal line stand where the Raiders scored. But D'Amico, in filling his hole in his gap, he waylaid the Steelers' right tackle, like embarrassed the hell out of him, like came up and stood him up and rocked the dude backwards. And so that was enough. That was the first play in the game where I was like, oh, yeah, I remember what D'Amico Ryans was like as a football player. Yeah, I just need to see one or two plays like that out of Dameon Pierce where it doesn't have to be jaw-droppingly impressive statistically or anything, but like, man, he's got that old oomph back.
Yeah, like Cam Akers' game in the Hall of Fame game, I think, is a good example of what I'm talking about. You look at Cam Akers' box score, and he had 7 touches for 31 yards, you know, including a couple catches. Nothing earth-shattering. But if you watch the game, you see 3 or 4 runs in there where it's like, oh, okay, man, he did his job. He looks good. Look at that spin move, you know, that kind of thing.
All I need is a couple instances of him on a zone running play where he just sticks his foot in the ground and gets vertical.
Exactly.
And then breaks a tackle or hits somebody. And I'm like, okay, does he feel the flow of the offense?
That's it.
And first and foremost, of course, attached to that is I want to see that the run blocking looks good.
Correct.
It gives him that clear picture.
Yep. Number 2, John Metchie. Here's John Metchie earlier in camp on his expectations for training camp.
I didn't really have crazy expectations, honestly. Like, my expectations aren't bigger than the day. And that's something I started practicing, like, towards the end of last season, and it carried on through the off seasons. Like, my expectations don't go farther than next week. My expectations are all today to make sure I'm checking off everything on my process every day.
As I peek ahead at this game, Seth, I'm guessing Metchie is going to play quite a bit in this game, considering he played a decent amount in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
Considering that he's reportedly not had great practices this week, he was really a non-factor in the Hall of Fame game.
A lot of drops.
A lot of drops.
Throughout camp, we've seen a lot of drops.
Yep. And Metchie is playing at a position where there are other guys who are performing at a, you know, at a fairly high level, competing for wide receiver 5 and 6 right now.
Metchie's a really complicated one, too, because I don't know how the team is evaluating him. Like, do you look at him almost like a rookie in that, man, these last 2 years he's been physically taxed? Even last season, even though he played, he finished his cancer treatment and rolled right into training camp, basically. So I think he's shown a lot of promise and a lot of potential, and I think athletically he has changed. He just hasn't translated it into scrimmage and game situations yet. Like, in that game last week, he didn't look like he was moving the same way we've seen him move in practice, and sometimes it takes a guy a while to just really truly get integrated into the offense, but he's already been in this offense for a year. So I think right now, unless he really flashes over these next couple games, they're going to have a tough decision to make with him, and maybe they hope that they can keep him on practice squad without him getting picked up by somebody else, or maybe some other team looks at his upside, given everything that we talked about with his recent history, that another team that doesn't have as packed a wide receiver room is willing to trade a late-round pick for
him. That was my prediction yesterday with Metchie, and that's what I would do. If Metchie doesn't get to a level that he was forecasted to be when they use a second-round pick on him, if he doesn't get to that point at some point in camp, then I think you trade him, because I think someone would pick him up in a second just based on upside. Like, in a heart, if he gets cut, he's getting picked up by somebody. If nothing else, the Panthers will pick him up to repair him with Bryce Young because they played together back at Alabama, you know? So,
poor Metchie.
Well, got to play well, man, you know?
I would love it if Metchie all of a sudden showed up in Carolina and, like, demanded a new deal or something, even though it's not even allowable by the CBA. And just like, yeah, I've watched This is not the Bryce Young I knew at Alabama. This is different. Yeah,
pulls a Garrett Crochet on him. I'm not playing in any playoff games if you don't give me a new contract. Yeah. We're Carolina. We're not going to the playoffs. What are you talking about?
So that's why, I mean, like, I think most Texans fans are very much emotionally pulling for John Metchie. He's just in a tough spot right now.
Big time. It's a deep position. Yeah, so Damian Pierce, John Metchie, two guys I'm looking to watch. Davis Mills is number three for me. C.J. Stroud's going to start this game. But Davis Mills had a very solid Hall of Fame game. Here was Davis Mills earlier this week on his takeaways from his performance in the Hall of Fame game.
I think the big thing was just going out and executing what we've been doing all camp. I thought a lot of guys were ready for the moment. Obviously, we've put a lot of work in throughout OTAs and through the start of camp so far. And our whole goal was just go out there and play clean and move the ball down the field, and I think we did that.
He's a super intriguing player to me, Seth, just because of how he was handled last year. He was on the depth chart, the backup all year long, and yet clearly the team didn't have the level of trust in him to start a late-season game on the road at Tennessee. And yet I feel like he's the second-string guy again this year. He started the Hall of Fame game. He had a really good game. You were not as bullish on his game at first blush as you were after you rewatched it.
I wasn't at first, and then I went back and watched a third time.
Yeah.
I watched on the quick rewatch. I was a little too. I was guilty of confirmation bias. I was kind of really focusing in on the negatives that I saw in some of the questionable decisions. I went back, and when I watched more thoroughly, like, all right, man, he was executing the offense. There were a couple moments where I think he might have second-guessed himself a couple times, but one time he worked through it.
Yeah.
Another time he didn't. But the third time I went through and watched, I was very pleased with the positives. Just in that, hey, can he execute the offense? Yes, I think he can. And then also, when you've got a backup quarterback, he's not super athletic, but he can. This isn't even like a white guy thing. He can run better than you think he can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's athletic and he's big, but that matters with your backup quarterback because teams aren't necessarily ready for that.
Yep. So Davis Mills, can he build on his performance last week is a big one for me tonight. Can he build to the point where, hey, maybe Nick Caserio's phone rings about Davis Mills? You know what I mean? Like, it's right.
There's at least a third of the league run right now is running a Kyle Shanahan offense.
Yeah.
And when your starting quarterback goes down or Matt Stafford finally catches the age bug or something like that, it can get tempting to bring in a guy who just knows the system. Like, Bill O'Brien did it with Bill O'Brien got rid of Ryan Fitzpatrick for Brian Hoyer.
Right.
And then replaced Brian Hoyer with Ryan Mallett at one point just because those guys knew the system.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's how extreme it is. And for a guy who genuinely can execute an actual system, because the Bill O'Brien system was like, let's just try to create the next Tom Brady.
Right.
That it actually makes a lot of sense for some team to potentially want Davis Mills.
Yeah, Mills playing well tonight would behoove the Texans. It would behoove Mills, but it would certainly be great for the Texans on many, many levels. Number four. So we got Pierce 1, Metchie 2, Mills 3. Number four, Kenyon Green, who did some good things in the Hall of Fame game, who obviously has changed his body completely from before having all those surgeries this past offseason. Here was Titus Howard, who Kenyon Green teammate on the offensive line, on the growth he sees in Kenyon Green.
Growth, man. Maturity. Kenyon's matured a lot. He's put in a lot of work. His body is in the best position he's been in. His mind is in the best position he's been in. He's very confident. You know, and his ability, and he's putting it all together, man. He's been out here putting some good stuff on the field for these first couple of days of camp, and I'm excited to see him grow. Like I told him, I've been in the same position he's in right now. You just got to keep working, man. Just keep grinding, keep grinding. He's gonna get better, and I feel like it's gonna be a good year for him.
You know, Kenyon Green, without even any health concerns, was always gonna be a guy that I thought would be a bit of a project because he was a big, strong mauler in college. And it's impressive to be a mauler in the SEC, don't get me wrong. But those guys, when maulers get to the NFL, they got to learn how to use technique and they got to learn how to use their feet. And I thought he showed some signs of that in his rookie year. He had some promising positives in his rookie year, even as he was battling through injuries. And even as he faced a gauntlet. He faced maybe six of the best 10 defensive tackles in the league that year as he was fighting through injury and everything else developmentally. So this year, I have definitely seen a different version of him. I've seen a guy that, man, he's really, I think, he's just honed all of his innate athleticism, and he's just moving differently. I think technically he's improved. And in the Hall of Fame game, there were some really good positives, especially him getting to the second level, working on linebackers, and moving well in space, all that type of stuff. And now it's just a matter of, all right, you're going to be doing it versus the Steelers are starting two of their interior defensive linemen. So he and Juice Scruggs will face the starting interior defensive linemen, at least a couple of them for the Steelers.
Yeah, it's good to see.
Can they look like they did last week, but versus better players this week?
That would be huge. I mean, that's near the top of my list of things that if I had three wishes for this game, the interior of the offensive line looking as capable as they did last week, looking that way tonight would be really, really good. My last two in my six-pack are really just curiosities of my own for two kind of different reasons than most Texan fans might be looking at these guys. Henry Toa is number five for me for a couple of reasons. One, Christian Harris hasn't gotten on the field yet. So until further notice, you know, Henry Toa is going to, if they had to play a game tomorrow, he'd be starting at linebacker for this team probably. And the reason I know that, Seth, is because for some reason Henry Toa didn't have to dress for the game last week, the Hall of Fame game.
Right, right.
That's a curious thing to me that he's thought of presumably on that level.
I assumed that it was either an injury or that he was going to get in the fourth quarter or something. It wasn't until I talked to John Harris that I even considered that he's that bona fide a starter right now that they didn't play him in that game. That honestly, it really surprised me a little bit. I would say, like, Henry Toa is the consummate guy that needs to be really, really good at all of the technical and football IQ side things of being a linebacker, because he's not as athletic as the other guys that are out there. Like, it's glaring, the right difference in athleticism between him and the other linebackers there. Even, you know, Jamal Hill, the rookie, who's not ready for NFL action yet. But
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's hard to evaluate linebackers from field level. It's really hard from field level during practice because you can't see what they're seeing and everything. So they seem to like what he's shown during training camp so far. Without getting too technical about this, it's one thing if they want him to start at Sam linebacker. For him to start at Will linebacker, where you really, that's your best athlete amongst your linebackers in a 4-3 a lot of times, I'm very skeptical of that. So we'll see. We'll see exactly what it looks like tonight.
Yeah, I just want to watch him play so I can go, oh, now I see why he got the starter's treatment last week. That would be nice
right,
to see,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe they're seeing a different Toa in training camp. The last one, and this actually does circle back to John Harris and his appearance with us yesterday, is I'm using Khalil Davis here specifically because of something Johnny said about him yesterday, but really, if I were to make this a position group thing, I am intrigued to see the interior of the defensive line just because I think they've been better than what people expected in camp. But big picture, interior O-line and interior D-line are the two position groups I'm most anxious to watch go against somebody else other than each other. Khalil Davis I'm interested to watch, and Khalil Davis was on this team last year, so we saw plenty of number 94 last year, and each game would have a flash play. But Johnny is talking about Khalil Davis like he was talking about him yesterday, like he's Warren Sapp wrecking shop out there in camp.
There's this curious kind of counterintuitive element to D'Amico's defense where it is more aggressive. You do unleash the defensive lineman. It's simplified in a lot of ways for the defensive lineman. It's one of the reasons I love this is why I love D'Amico Ryan so much. D'Amico Ryan's knows defensive linemen and knows how to get the most out of them. But as simplified as it is, it's still hard to really embrace it and put it into your muscle memory and to play the way you're supposed to play as a defensive lineman in this system. And sometimes it takes a little while for it to click. And I think, with Khalil Davis, maybe we see a different level of him. The other defensive tackle that I'm kind of excited to watch develop over the course of the preseason is Marcus Harris, mm-hmm. the seventh-round draft pick. Because there's something there. He gets across the line of scrimmage very, very fast. He's kind of raw from a skills standpoint in a lot of ways, but there's something there. And I could totally see them looking at him as a guy that, you know, because of his size and because he's raw, we can't use him as an every down starter now, but there's something for him. So he had some bad snaps last week, but he also had some really good flashes. He penetrated really well a few times. So I'm excited to watch him for the next few
years. Yeah, number 59, if you want to follow along with Seth in watching Marcus Harris tonight.
He's like a squatty Whitney Merciless.
Yes, yeah. If Hollywood did a really poor job of casting Whitney Merciless or D'Amico Ryans, it would look like Marcus Harris. Yes,
not dumpy. He's very solid and lean, but he's not built like Whitney Merciless.
Just way bigger. Yeah, yeah. So or stockier. Text in 713-572-4610. I'm curious what the audience is looking for tonight. Who are the guys? We just rattled off six of them right there. Who are the guys and why that you're looking forward to seeing in tonight's game? We'll read them.
Khalil Davis is kind of a cult favorite for a lot of Texans fans.
Yes, he is.
I feel like there's a lot of Texans fans that feel he was one of the more underappreciated players last year.
Yeah, underdog story, man. Didn't he play in one of those alternative leagues, like USFL or XFL or something like that? I thought he did. Maybe
played
I got
in the
him.
WNBA.
He did? Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember him.
It was an unheralded story. Got really big. Got too political.
It did. Very polarizing. So Kay Adams of the Up and Adams podcast. Most people probably know Kay Adams from her time as one of the hosts on Good Morning Football. Does a really good job. Very good interviewer. Her podcast is doing very well. She was at Texans camp in Ohio this week. She sat down with D'Amico Ryans, sat down with Nico Collins, who we're going to hear from shortly here in his interview with Bussin' with the Boys. I bumped that up in the rotation.
It's a great story. Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. It's an all-timer.
We'll get to that in a second. So, Danielle Hunter was the other player that she interviewed, and She asked Danielle Hunter about the decision to go with jersey number 55 instead of jersey number 99. Obviously, 99 is J.J. Watt's number. She retweeted this bit of audio that you're about to hear, or retweeted the video of the audio you're about to hear here, and she retweeted it with this comment. J.J. absolutely playing for the Texans this year. Change my mind. Okay, so take a listen to this, and you tell me, based on this bit of audio, do you think J.J. Watt is for sure coming back to play for the Texans this year?
Numbers don't matter except yours, because you're wearing the 55 and it's throwing me the F off, Danielle. What is this?
I mean, it's the same double-digit trend from what I brought from Minnesota, but, you know, out of respect for J.J., you know, he wore 99 for the Houston Texans, and he did a lot for the city of Houston, so it's only right to just let it be for him, you know, to come out. Coming into a new team, new number, but keeping a double-digit number trend. So I kind of like it.
I do like it, but it was just your idea. There was no discussion about it. You were just like, this is what I'm going to do. It's very freaking cool of you.
I mean, it definitely had to be the same digit. So, but I feel like 55 was the best-looking one out of all of them.
But, okay, so that's the soundbite that she took. I'm really surprised by that, especially because she talked to D'Amico Ryans within that same hour. And D'Amico Ryans gave a soundbite where it made me feel like, oh, I was way off about J.J. coming back. I don't think he's coming back now. D'Amico really laid out how hard it is for a player to come back after 2 years off at his age. Yeah. No, Kay. I like Kay a lot. I really do. I think she does awesome, awesome interviews. I think she gets the most out of like Danielle Hunter. She actually got a lot out of him, and he doesn't love speaking to the media, I don't think, as much. No, it's because he's got a number that's all but retired. That's the dumbest. Come on, Kay. That made her believe that J.J. Watt was coming back.
I'll read the tweet.
Danielle Hunter grew up in Houston. Yeah. He knows full force the meaning and history of J.J. Watt. Yeah. No, he's not going to wear 99. Come on.
J.J. absolutely playing for Texans this year. Change my mind. That's what she said.
There's no way.
You're not mad. You're just disappointed in her.
I'm disappointed. Yeah. I think that I honestly, I don't think she goes after clickbait.
I don't either. That's why I'm bringing it up. It's a weird tweet for her.
I'm surprised. And she's very, very plugged in. Like, she's not, she knows what's, she's one of those national people where I'm kind of like, when she does interviews, I was like, oh, wow, she and her team have done some research on this.
Dude.
Yeah, I didn't take that as one bit. I took that as the same way when you go onto any team and there's an all-time great for that franchise. You're not going to wear that number even if it's not officially retired.
That's right. And to your point, especially, Danielle Hunter literally watched J.J. Watt win 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards as a Houstonian,
well,
you know?
And what Danielle always brings up when he talks about J.J. is what he did for the city during Harvey and everything else. So it goes even further than that.
Yep.
I was, you know what, as he was talking about why he picked the double numbers, I was looking at the number 55 and I realized, like, oh, yeah, you know, 55, you just put a vertical line there on both the fives and you got a 99. So it was smart that he chose 55 if he's going to do double numbers.
If he ever gets mad at J.J. Watt, he'll just color in the rest and be like, see, no, not, now I'm 99. You piss me off, Watt.
J.J. Watt pisses him off in the pregame somehow, like
studio.
In some conversation. So he goes in and marker, turns those fives into nines.
J.J. goes to the whiteboard and does a big segment on biggest disappointments in the NFL so far this year, and he's got Danielle Hunter the top of his list, and Hunter gets out a black marker and fine, J.J. gets out white out. Okay, this is a phenomenal story. And we had heard stories about Jim Harbaugh like this before, but I've never heard it from a player's perspective. I've only heard these stories about Jim Harbaugh on the recruiting trail at Michigan, just anecdotally, like, you know, kind of like those Zach Greinke story things that we hear about these fables of Harbaugh on the recruiting trail. And one of the things we heard about Harbaugh was there had been times where he has crashed at a recruit's house while recruiting him. It turns out that one of those players is a Houston Texan, and his name is wide receiver Nico Collins. Nico Collins was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. That's Taylor Lewan and Will Compton's podcast. They were here in Houston during the first part of training camp and interviewed several of the guys. We'll hear more from them a little bit later on a different topic. Here was Nico telling the story about Jim Harbaugh recruiting him to Michigan and sleeping at his house.
recruiting story with Coach Harbaugh. Is it true that he
ate his fries?
He ate your fries when he first met
man,
you?
Yeah, man, I ate my fries. Look, it was crazy. I came in, man, from lunch. Right, so he came in, him and Coach Pelt. So they was in the field house, man. You know, he sat down. You know, I was eating my lunch. You know, he was sitting there beside me. He said, "What's up, man? Jim Harbaugh." I'm like, "How you doing, Nico Collins?" Like, food looked kind of good. He went there and grabbed the fry, right? I'm like, "Go ahead, you know, just have it, you know." But and then that night, man, he came over to the crib. You know, he stayed over, and
he slept over.
Yeah, he slept over. It was crazy because I wasn't expecting him to, you feel me, to chill.
Oh, he wanted,
Jim wanted to chill.
Like in a camper outside, or
man, I'm talking
or
about.
He shared the room.
He came in. No, he was in the living room. He was in the living room on the floor. On the floor. Yeah, so he came in. He came in the city, man. So he was there the whole entire day, him and Pep Hamilton. And we was there just chilling. You know, he said he was going to stay the night. I really didn't believe it until he really didn't leave. It was like 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's for real.
Extra pillow,
it was for real. You know,
I had to.
He was one of them. I'm like, yeah, Harbaugh, he's locked in with me, man. And I feel like ever since then, he stood out to me in my whole recruiting process. So I feel like, man, Harbaugh always been that guy for me.
Dude, like, this is, there's so much in that 1 minute about one of the most incredibly unique people I've ever seen or heard of in the world, like in world history. The Harbaugh.
He's a weirdo, okay, so, man.
I know, but it's in an amazing way. Harbaugh's one of those guys I always look at where, like, wait, people want to emulate, you know, very successful people, and yet they stop short. They don't go all the way there. They like got people kind of pick and choose. And if you want to emulate Jim Harbaugh, if you want to be a like an incredibly successful NFL and college coach, something that is very, very rare, you've got to, you would have to go all the way there. So he just starts eating the fries off of somebody's plate that he meets for the first time. And the thing is, this is what you need to know. I don't think that's like an alpha move or anything. I think that's just like Harbaugh. That's just, he's one of those people, you know? I know this is, my brother is like this, and my brother's was a very good coach back in the day, but he would walk into somebody's house and just start looking in the cupboards for food. Like, you know, Brant
really?
Boyer? You know Brant Boyer, the special teams coordinator for the Jets?
Yes.
One of the best special teams coordinator in the league.
Yeah.
We used to be, my brother and I were living together, and we had an apartment in the same complex as Brant. So we'd, the first time we ever went over to Brant's place, we walk into Brant's place, and my brother just starts looking through the cupboards for food. And Boyer's like, "Bro, what the hell are you doing?"
Yeah, that's weird, dude. That's different than grabbing a fry off of somebody's plate in the middle of the table.
We were all friends already, you know. We
still
just hadn't been the, but then Harbaugh, so Harbaugh's on a recruiting visit and is apparently feeling the vibe well enough that I wonder if, did he even ask? Or did he tell them,
no,
I'm going to sleep over?
Oh,
he
about
just said, hey, why don't I sleep? Do you think he asked like this? Like, hey, why don't I just sleep on the floor tonight? We're having a great time.
I would love to know how that conversation.
And then he slept on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, which is.
He probably let Pep have the couch. Pep Hamilton. Oh,
you think Pep stayed there? You think Pep stayed there too?
I think he did. You're the assistant coach and you're like, you don't want to be out hardcored by the head coach.
Yeah.
I think Pep was like, I guess we're doing this. And we'll have to ask Pep Hamilton because he's still in town. We see him every now and then at practice.
At practice, yeah. He's working for the NFL Network. Okay, so here's my question to you. If you were a Nico Collins level recruit, I'm assuming Nico was a big recruit back in high school. I don't follow the recruiting trail all that closely anymore. But I'm assuming Nico Collins, living in Alabama, getting recruited by Michigan, I'm assuming he's a big-time recruit. If you were a Nico Collins level recruit, would it make you more or less likely to go to Michigan if Jim Harbaugh pulled what Nico Collins laid out?
Right, I mean, now, without being there and knowing the force of his personality and everything else, because it's almost, he's got this like, Harbaugh has this almost childlike enthusiasm about things.
Yes.
I'm guessing that I would be impressed by it. You know, I'm guessing he got along smashingly with my mom and everything, not in a creepy way, but... Oh, that would be rough. You wake up in the middle.
Wake up in the middle of the night. And he's not on the couch. He's just not there. The blankets like moved around and stuff. And you hear things.
Harbaugh walks out in the morning. He's like, "Hey, Seth, I'm your dad now. You're going to, and I'm making the decisions in this family. You're going to Michigan."
Do you think Harbaugh was at the stove and just his boxers and a tank top, like just shuffling through some scrambled eggs with like a cigarette hanging out of his mouth? Like,
Your mom's a spitfire, Seth. I'm being very careful to put this in my situation so that nobody thinks that I'm like casting aspersions at Nico's family.
Right.
No, but then he sleeps on the floor too.
Yeah.
Which again, like a Buddhist monk or something, you know? Or well, like, you know, or he claims to be a devout Catholic, like a Jesuit priest on mission in Brazil back in the day. Yeah, I'm fascinated by Jim Harbaugh. It's just amazing.
Man.
I think that's one of those moves that it's one of the things where it's a bold move and maybe it fails, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
I think that's probably where if he's even thinking about it as a move, but it's just one of those things that it could be very polarizing, and there might have been some recruits that are like, what the hell's up with this guy?
Yeah.
But then there's other recruits that are like, holy, yeah, this is my kind
of
guy.
I think it's one of those things, Seth, that if you have a recruit that's okay with it, you probably are getting that guy. Like, if a recruit that's cool with it is you're right. Like, Jim Harbaugh's like, all right, this is my power move, and this guy, there's going to be recruits that just completely eliminate Michigan because I do it, and there's going to be others, like Nico Collins, who are like, man, this guy's all in with me. He's sleeping on the floor at my house. Holy cow.
I know this would not fly with Brandy Payne. This is, Brandy is like, the one thing about, if you're sleeping on the floor, especially, not like in a guest bedroom or something, that messes up everybody's morning routine.
Yeah.
You're not anticipating a house guest, and all of a sudden you got anybody who's ever had their buddy, anybody who's like an adult legally, but then been like, oh, hey, by the way, seven of my buddies are sleeping in the living room tonight. Like, yeah, it can create waves,
Well, even just one, if he's a sound sleeper and you get up early, I feel bad. Like, to have to like tiptoe through your own house to get like a bottled water or something in the morning because you're thirsty.
Yeah.
You know, because Coach Harbaugh is this sound sleeper on the the ottoman or on the
recliner. There's no way. Harbaugh's up at 3 a.m., I think. And probably.
Yeah, probably.
He might have been gone. I got to hear the epilogue to that story. Like, was Harbaugh even there in the morning, or had he taken off already onto his next trip?
Here's my promise to you. If we get Nico Collins on the postgame show this year, I will ask him that. I'll ask for the epilogue of the Harbaugh visit.
If
Clint and I get him on the postgame show. We get him a lot on the postgame.
I've been trying to, as I've been preparing to hike the Appalachian Trail someday as an old man, I've been thinking, like, I got to get better at sleeping on the ground. And I haven't gotten myself to do it. I want to commit to after the season. I won't do it during the season,
okay.
Sean. I want to get better at sleeping on the floor.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start doing that.
There's a lot of things I'll do with you as a show. That's not one of them. You have fun with that. No, God, no. Oh no.
I'd like to get to the point where I could sleep on a hardwood floor comfortably.
Mm. I tried to sleep up here. I slept up here last week after the Hall of Fame game.
Don't give away any secrets.
No, I'm not. No. I want the secret spot.
Yeah,
the secret nap place. I will not do that. No, I'm merely mentioning my first crack at sleeping up here was in a side room somewhere that had like a bunch of like cushioned benches pushed together.
Yeah.
And I threw a blanket down on top of it, and I had a blanket to throw on top of me, and I'm like, nope, too hard. I need something softer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're a bit more Goldilocks than Jim Harbaugh is.
Much more so, dude. I'll admit that. I'll own that.
There's a movie called A Walk in the Woods with Robert Redford based on a book. It's really good. It's a memoir of an author who walked the Appalachian or hiked the Appalachian Trail. And I was into it. And I try to suspend disbelief and everything when I watch movies. It's an issue of mine. I get to the point where they're on the Appalachian Trail. So somewhere in like, I don't know what, North Carolina or Tennessee or something. And they get confronted with a grizzly bear, which there are no grizzly bears in the East Coast. And I'm like, I can't. Why? Why did you do this to me? I cannot enjoy this movie one bit after this.
Okay.
Like, what the hell?
Do you think you're in the majority or the minority that know that grizzly bears don't exist in the Appalachian Mountains?
I think most people watching that movie probably. That's a boomer movie.
Yeah.
I think most people know.
I know you'll be shocked. I would have had no clue. I would have been like, oh, okay, yeah.
Unless that thing just escaped from a zoo, there's no way in hell you're encountering a grizzly bear on the Appalachian Trail.
A zoo in the Appalachian Trail would be the greatest zoo of all time. All those carnies living up there. Oh,
It runs through like various, you know, nearby pockets of civilization.
It does. It does. Yeah. By the way, Jalen Petrie is getting the most run on the text page for player that Texan fans are most interested to watch tonight. And I don't think that's a surprise because of how much you and I have been talking about him playing various spots in that defense. So we'll talk more about that as we roll on here. D'Amico Ryans loves Stephon Diggs. How much does he love Stephon Diggs? So much so that it looks like one of my predictions is on its way to coming true. One of my Diggs predictions is on its way to coming true. We will have that for you coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.